The first reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 15, chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. And the Holy Gospel from John chapter 15, beginning at verse 9. Praise and glory to God. Okay. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Te rongapai tini a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ.
There we go. Ooh.
Now you really can. I'll say it again. Kia ora, how are you doing? Good, cool. So, awesome readings this morning, much to say. But yeah, it has been crazy, hasn't it? I just want to acknowledge what Steve was saying earlier. It has been nuts, the weather. Did anyone notice it? I mean, I don't know if it's... yeah, it has been... I mean, the other day, Katie and me just drove along to... we had to drive along that road just behind Saltonwood, because we'd been at Saltonwood, and we saw those two trees, you know, the big Norfolk pines that had just snapped in half, and they had landed on some garage, one of the garages down there. It was absolutely crazy. So anyway, I hope everyone's okay, or as okay as you can be. And we've all had bits and pieces of flooding and things like that going on too. I just wanted to say, just take some of the volume off and it'll probably be all right. Just want to say, so yes, as Steve said, today is Te Pōhere Sunday, and he's mentioned one or two things about that. But before we get into a little bit more about what that means, I just wanted to share something about my time up in St. John's in Auckland. So I was teaching there at St. John's College for about 3.5 years and loved it. I just loved being with those students. They were all people who were training for ministry, and they'd obviously, lots of them had been in ministry already, and they'd come away for a year or two or 3 years at St. John's to train to minister to God's people around the church up and down Aotearoa, New Zealand, and Polynesia. So we had students from all over the place there, gathered, and it was wonderful. And one of the, well, I'm going to say three little highlights, three things that I don't think are ever going to leave me, that really touched me. One was, okay, one is just in the chapel, all right? They've got a little chapel at St. John's, and it's beautiful. It's like a mini version of this, you know, kind of, you know, it's this dark wood kind of, but it's smaller and more intimate. It's sort of cozy, beautiful stained glass windows. And you go in there, and we would have morning prayer and midday prayer, and often evening prayer, you know, just throughout the day, this kind of rhythm of prayer and students coming together and staff coming together, praying, going and learning, going and serving out in the churches and the outreach and neighborhood things they're involved in, and coming back and praying and going out, coming back. It's just wonderful. But what just again and again, it would just absolutely just make the hair stand up on the back of my head was when someone would start a song in the chapel, just one of the students or one of the somebody would just start singing a song that wasn't, we didn't have a guitar or anything, you know, and I mean, sometimes we did, but you know, on those occasions, and just all these voices, and I have to say they're like heavenly voices, harmonies just split all over the place and weaving in and out of each other would just occur around me, and I'd be going, oh my goodness. And these beautiful voices of these incredible Pacifica students and staff who just know how to harmonize in a way that I'd never heard before. And I've heard some stunning choirs, let me tell you. You know, and this is just natural, you know, people just going for it without being, you know, taught in school or, you know, in university or wherever, and, you know, how to harmonize or anything. They've just, it's just utterly beautiful. And again, I'd be like, oh my goodness, I just wish I'd recorded some of that. It is so beautiful. So that's one of the things that I absolutely loved about being at St. John's, was just this heavenly choir that would just come out of nowhere and fill the chapel, and the hair would stand up on my, you know, back of my head, and I'd be like, wow, God is, it's a foretaste of heaven. This is beautiful, beautiful worship. Another thing was my friend, or he became a friend. He was another member of staff, older than me, Victor Mokaraka, and we were both in the downstairs. There was the upstairs, which was where all the important people were, and then there was the like downstairs bit. And Victor and me were downstairs, and a few others. And every now and then, Victor would just sort of wander into. He taught Te Reo Māori, and he'd wander into my office. And he, again, was a very learned guy. He'd done English, actually, at uni and various other things, gone on to be a teacher, school teacher, and done heaps in his life. Anyway, he would come in, and then when Victor came in, I'd know, okay, I need to put my work aside for at least half an hour, you know, because we're going to have a yarn. And we did, and we had so many good yarns. And he showed such hospitality to me. You know, I was ignorant of New Zealand history. I was ignorant of so many things. He knew the stuff very, very well, you know, and he taught it and all sorts. And he would just sort of gently, without me kind of noticing, teach me stuff, you know, in a very humble way, a very patient way, and in a completely no-holds-barred way. He didn't pull any punches. He'd tell me like it is. You know, this happened, that happened. And no matter how uncomfortable it was for me, he would show generosity and faithfulness and love. He's just a good man, a really good man. And we became friends in the end. Well, I hope we did. I'm sure he does say we did. You know, I found that relationship. I really valued it. Why am I saying all this? Well, kind of obviously it's Te Pahere Sunday, and what does all that mean? But I'm going to read you a verse from Revelation, and then I'll say why I've particularly chosen those things. After these things, John says, this is St. John in Revelation. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. And palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before God and worshipped him. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful picture of heaven? That's where we're headed, you know, in this place, this space, this incredible worship of God, where people are drawn from all corners of humanity. And I love the way that it says all tribes, all languages, all nations, all gathered there. It's not like we stop being, I don't know, you know, Scottish, wherever you're from, or, you know, stop being having English ancestry, or stop having being Maori or Pacifica, or stop being from China, or stop being, you know, whatever it is. You don't have to stop being you, because all languages are there. Isn't that wonderful? Well, not, forgive me, but, you know, we're not all going to be speaking English in heaven. You know that anyway. And, you know, God doesn't speak English. I mean, he kind of does, really, doesn't he? You know, we see it in the King James, you know, and he speaks with thee and thou. He doesn't, you know. He obviously speaks Greek, because the Bible's written Greek. Or is it Hebrew, because the Bible's written Hebrew? Oh, but there's some Chaldean in there. Oh, anyway, it doesn't matter. Just being silly, being facetious. You know, all languages will be there in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? All tribes, it says. All nations, all peoples. And we'll be who? You'll be you. I'll be me. You know, I'll have that, my ancestry. And you'll have yours, and we'll be able to use whatever language is most comfortable for us, and maybe we'll learn a few heavenly ones in there too, if we haven't already, you know, and we'll be able to praise God together. It was Trinity Sunday last Sunday, right? God in God's self is not just one kind of mono unit. God in God's self is diverse, is Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says, was poured out on all flesh, right? Was the Holy Spirit poured out on all flesh? Yeah. So, is Jesus poured out on all flesh? No. Did Jesus become fully human? Did the Holy Spirit become fully human? No. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus. The Father is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not the Father. And yet, God is one. The Holy Spirit is God, fully God. Jesus is fully God. The Father is fully God. This is the amazing mystery of the Trinity. And when I say mystery, I don't mean... Yeah, I don't mean Agatha Christie. Thank you, Bill. It's not a murder mystery to be solved, you know, and it's like, oh, let me figure this one out. Oh, there it is. Boom, got it. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3 or something weird. You know, it's not maths. We're not talking... The Trinity is about relationships. The Trinity is about God being three persons in one. And if God is three persons who are different in the sense of the Father is not the Son is not the Father, the Holy Spirit, you know, and yet one, that gives us hope when he creates the human race in all its diversity. Because it means we don't have to all be identical, be cardboard cut out, cookie cutter things, you know, whatever the word is. I remember this, like, you won't like it probably, some of you will, thing called, what was it called? Pufinkat. It was a sort of mix. It looked like it was by these Soviet era, it was a cartoon, and it looked like a Soviet era cartoon about this puffin cat and these sailors of the great Soviet Union. But it wasn't. It was actually by a load of Irish comedians, and these Irish comedians were like ripping it off. But anyway, in Pufinkat, it always ended like at the end, because they're all Soviet, you know, and the great nation. And like at the end, it goes, you know, and we are going Soviet, and we're going into the world, and we make everything same. And then it would stop, you know. And it, like, we are not same, you know. Are we? We're really, you know, and it's that difference. I am not an Australian. Steve, yeah, Steve is not, I don't know, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we are one. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all the body of Christ.
Even on the rugby field.
Except on the rugby field, I know, yeah. Even on the rugby field. That is a controversial statement, but true. And it's wonderful. So all nations, all tongues, all tribes will be gathered together there in heaven. And we reflect the unity and the diversity that is in the Godhead. You know? They are all, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. And yet the Father isn't the Son isn't, the, you know, we are one people. And yet we're not all exactly the same. We are different. We are all tribes will be represented, all languages, all nations. So this is wonderful stuff. That's where we're headed. And and so when being up at St. John's sometimes felt like a little mini kind of foretaste of that. And Te Pohede Sunday is Po. Where does that word come from? Po means post. And Hede means to tie or to anchor, you know. So it's an anchor post for like our waka. So our we moor our boats, our waka, to the same anchor post, which is Christ. And there's a wonderful prayer in our prayer book, which you'll all be able to, you know, you don't have to look at it, but if you'd like to, it's on page 479 in the prayer book. And this comes from our communion service. There's a couple of different communion services in our prayer book. And one of them has these words. Yeah. Kotekaraiti, it is Christ, te poherenga, who is the pohere, or the poherenga, the anchor post, the post that we tie to which we tie our waka, te poherenga waka. Kotekaraiti, te poherenga waka. Christ is the anchor post for our craft, our boats, our canoes, our waka. Pretty cool, eh? And so we all hitch our... these words come in the prayer just after confession. We say to God, we're sorry for our sin. We've turned to our own ways. We've been selfish, and we're sorry. And we want to turn to you and to your ways. Forgive us and amazingly, graciously, in Christ, God forgives us. And as soon as God, we hear those words that God has forgiven us, it says that. It says, for Christ is our anchor post, and we tie our waka to him, all of us. There's a wonderful bit in Colossians. In fact, I'll read it out to you, this verse that says... or a couple of verses, that talks about holding fast. It's Colossians 2:19, holding fast to the head, which is Christ, from whom the whole body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Now, if you think about it, if I am holding fast, I love that word, holding fast to Christ, all right? I'm coming from where I'm coming from. I've had my life. I've had this kind of all these things happen to me. And, you know, I've got all this background and ancestry. And I'm holding on to Christ. And then Bruce over here is holding on to Christ. And he's got his background. And it's different to mine. You know, he's got his ancestry, his lineage, his history, the things that have happened to him, the things that have been passed down to him. They're totally different to the things that have been passed down to me. Totally different to the things that have happened to me. You know, and then Goldie over there, she's got her history, her lineage, the things that have happened to her experiences in life, and she's holding on to Christ. And as we all hold on to Christ and grow, it says, growing as we're strengthened and we grow towards Christ who is the head, think about what's happening. Goldie's coming from over there, so different to where I'm coming from. I'm coming from over here. Bruce is coming from over here. And where are we all headed? Who are we holding fast to? Christ, hopefully. You know, and the more we hold fast to Christ, the more we grow in him, the closer we get to each other, don't we? Isn't that wonderful? As we head for Christ, we become closer to one another. And I think that's what this anchoring to Christ, our anchor post, is about. That no matter what background and all the differences and the beauty of those differences and the richness and diversity of the differences that we have, we become one as we anchor to Christ. He is our anchor post, our pōhere, or pōherenga, pōherenga waka. Lovely, eh? We anchor ourselves to him and we come closer to one another. And that's what our two readings are about this morning. It's about reconciliation and love. We've been reconciled, Paul says, to Christ, to God in Christ. We've been drawn to him. We've anchored we've tied our rope around Christ, the anchor post. And we're moored to him. And we've been reconciled to Christ. And as such, as our second reading, John says, we should love one another. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. Love's not always easy, is it? We know that. And the fact that we are different, the fact that we have different histories, different backgrounds, different experiences, means that sometimes it's difficult to get along with each other. We all know that old saying, opposites attract, right? I don't know for you, but certainly for me, Katie and I are quite opposite to each other on lots of things. We've got, thankfully, some similarities too. Phew. But those opposite bits are what cause tension, you know, in any relationship, aren't they? And those are the things you're like, what? And the other person's like, what? Where are you coming from? Because we're coming from such different places. And it could be as stupid as, I don't know, what you do at Christmas, you know? Like, I remember our first Christmas being absolutely shocked because Katie just, like, got in there and just ripped into the presents. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, surely don't we take it in turns? Isn't that what everyone, like, normal people do? And she's like, why would you do that? You know, this is Christmas, you know? Totally, two very different ways of doing things. And excellent ways of doing things, you know. They both got their merits. I don't know what we do now. What do we do now? I think we do a bit of both. Maybe I can't even think. But it's those differences that can create tensions. But they're also things that can create strengths. Like Katie is details person. And I'm like, details are all right, you know. But let's do something, you know, big picture, and like everything's connected, let's just go for it, you know, kind of. And she's like, yeah, but what about this? And I'm like, huh? Don't put that in front of me, let's just do this thing, you know. But together, you know, it's stronger because she sees stuff that I would miss otherwise, and then, you know, it could create a problem, it would create a problem further down the track unless we dealt with it. And I've got this big energetic idea and direction, which means that we go somewhere. So together, It works better. I'm teaching my grandma to suck eggs. Not that you're my grandma, who is a wonderful person. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I'm going to just, is there any way we could pull this up? And I'm going to finish with this little thing. So that is a wonderful, that's a weaving there of, you know, different people together to make one piece. That's what that symbol is. It's our Anglican symbol for New Zealand, for Aotearoa New Zealand Polynesia. But there is our wonderful stained glass window. And it's, as you can see, depicts, first of all, St. Luke in the middle there, because this is St. Luke's church. We're named after St. Luke for good reason, and most of us know why, and we'll talk about that another day. But on either side of St. Luke, we've got Wee Parata, who's buried next, you know, in the Urupa, just here, and with his family. That's his family's Urupa. It's, by the way, it's not the Urupa of the iwi, it's the Urupa of Wee Parata's family. So it's a little family cemetery that we have there. Wee Parata gave us this church. You know, when I say us, I mean the Anglican Diocese of Wellington. And Wee Parata gifted this bit of land that the church is on. In fact, do you know where the church was built? I'm sure you do. You all know the history. Where was it? Down there, yeah, on Greenaway Road, yeah. And it was dragged all the way up here by a team of bullocks who kind of like were like, that's what they look like. And they dragged it up here and popped it here when people started working on the railway and moved up this way. And it's been expanded since. Wes and Steve are sitting, and Ian are sitting in the old bit there. And then it's been extended out that way and back. Wee Parata, and so that bit of land next door was where Wee Parata and his family are buried, obviously. But he gifted this bit of land right next door to their, pretty special, eh? Right next door to their family Urupa, to be used for worship for everyone. Lovely. And the first services, for a long time services, that were held in our church were all in Te Reo Māori. And eventually we started using English as well in our services here. And so it's a gift. Ngāti Toa, the iwi sort of further down that way, down the coast, to which, from, you know, from which we Parata Whakapapas, so they gave more land to the Diocese of Wellington. When Octavius Hadfield, who is on this side, was the Bishop of Wellington. He was the first Bishop of Wellington. Again, I know you know all this. But so they gave a whole bunch of land down that way to the Diocese of Wellington. Do you know what, for what purpose? Do you know the bit of land I'm talking about? For a school. It was for a school. And they said, here's another bit of land, you know, very generous. And this is for you, the Anglican Church, to provide a school to teach people, to teach kids. The Anglican Church didn't use it for that. And they decided to use it for other things. And instead of deciding, oh, actually it was gifted for this reason, do you know how people, no, I'm not going to say that. All right. Sorry. It was gifted for that reason. It wasn't used for that reason. And then the Anglican Church thought it could make money off it. Yeah. And so they sort of made money off this gift by using it not for the purposes that it was given for. And that's just, forgive me, but that's not okay. We should just call it not okay, if not insulting along with everything else. But it's not okay. It's a misuse of a gift given for a purpose. If someone gives a gift to us as a church here, you know, you've seen the accounts from a couple of weeks ago, we carefully earmark it for that purpose, and we're not going to spend it on something else. You know, if it was given for, you know, whatever it was, then we use it for that purpose. If it was given for the youth leader, we use it for the youth leader. If it was given, you know, we don't say, ah, we need some money for repairs, and we'll give it to repairs. We don't do that. The current Bishop of Wellington, and so actually you'll probably also know that there is a famous legal case, Wee Parata and the Bishop of Wellington. Wee Parata was a big politician in his time. He was excellent, incredible, really good mind, really good politician. Anyway, and when he saw that the Anglican Church were misappropriating their land, they said, well, that's not okay, and tried to sort it out, couldn't get sorted out, so they had to take it to court. And that is where that awful phrase, the simple nullity, comes from. That particular Judge Prendergast, I don't know if you know that, that was that court case. Do you know that one? Oh, okay. So, yeah, that was just the Judge Prendergast in that case, in the ruling between Wee Parata and the Diocese of Wellington, said, well, the treaty, this is, back in the 1800s, the treaty is a simple nullity. The Treaty of Waitangi is a simple nullity. I can't really say what he said because it sounds so awful. But he said, and I'll quote, actually, just so that... It's a simple nullity having been signed by primitive barbarians. Don't like saying that in church. And so he discounted it and said, the Anglican Church can do what they like with that land. And so dear old Wee Parata, who gave us our church, who gave us our land, for which we are incredibly grateful, was told, well, you and your people, simple, you're barbarians, and, it's the treaty that your people signed with the crown is just a simple nullity. We're not even going to look at it. Don't care about it anymore. Thankfully, praise the Lord, some Christians have woken up, and currently I know that the current Bishop of Wellington, Justin Duckworth, and I'm sure others before him have prepared the way for this as well, but certainly the current bishop is like well aware that this is not okay, and is putting things into motion, and has been for quite some time now. And it's a big, you can imagine, it's a long legal disentanglement that needs to happen, but it's starting to address this issue of the land given to be a school to the Anglican Church, and wanting to use it for what it was, to do something about the fact that it wasn't used, that there was an injustice. Does that make sense? I don't want to labour this point. You all right? I know it's quite serious. It's quite big. But I just wanted to say that because just like, it sounds trite to say it, but just like in a marriage, there are differences, and those differences can be really hard to work out sometimes. When we gather and we all hitch our waka to the same post, when we gather in heaven, it is the hugest gift from God that we can be forgiven and reconciled and united and made one. But while we're here on earth, still, things are not perfect. Katie and me have been known to argue still. And on a much bigger scale, things are not perfect when there are injustices done, whichever way those injustices go. And in this case, it's quite a shocking one, isn't it? But we need to work at those things. We need to do what Jesus said, which is love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. It's the best thing you and me can do is lay down our lives for one another. Give up our me, 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 my rights, my, but this is die, just die, because that's what Jesus did, and it's what he calls us to do. take up your cross daily. That does mean dying. Crosses aren't to just sort of lounge around on. Crosses are awful things on which you die. And then you're free. Then you're free to live for God. So, huge challenge here, and you'll have to forgive me for it. Hopefully. But this, I just wanted to be real about the cost. Is that all right? To be real about the cost. This stuff costs something. Love costs something. There really are problems that we need to address. And in doing that, we're going to have to do a bit of dying to ourselves, you know, which I think is what the current Bishop of Wellington is doing. And they're just saying, look, we need to put this right. This is an injustice. It shouldn't have happened. And it's going to be freaking hard to put right now because there's so much, you know, water under the bridge that how do you untangle all this? We don't know, but we want to give it a go. We need to be honest about what's happened. And we need to be heading for heaven and heading for that wonderful, wonderful place of reconciliation, of forgiveness, of love. And they're aware that that means we might have to lose some stuff. I might have to die, and that's okay. It's good because we should never have taken that stuff in the first place or whatever. But do you know what I mean? Might have to lose face, might have to lose all sorts of stuff. Who cares? Who freaking cares if you'll forgive me? I mean, honestly, I'm going to die one day and I'll be in heaven. Why not do some good while I'm here on earth, you know? And who cares if I look a bit stupid or if I have to look like I'm being walked over? Because I'm not really. I've done enough bad things in this world to know that actually, no matter how much I die to myself, I'm only doing what I should have done in the first place. Does that make sense? Oh, well, there you go. I'm not really big on challenges, am I? I'm not like, I usually stand up and say something cuddly. But I thought I'd give a wee bit of a challenge this morning, and I hope that's okay. I just love you guys so much, and I think you're awesome, and I've learned so much from you. And, you know, I'm only saying this because you all know, and you all want it anyway.
Yeah, it's so,
it is a hugely long process. But there, isn't it wonderful that we have in our stained glass window, we Parata and Octavius Hadfield, who were friends, who, you know, and yet who it was not always easy, and there was some mess as well as a lot of blessing. And we stand here because of this blessing, and we worship in this place because of this blessing and because of this gift. So let's be thankful to God, and we'll just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and your love. We want to be those, Lord Jesus, who die, who lay down our lives, who take up our crosses, and who follow you, who ask for your forgiveness. And in hearing that wonderful declaration of forgiveness and reconciliation to you, we are able to hitch our waka to you as our anchor post, our pohere, and to notice the others that are hitching their waka to the same anchor post. And as we come closer to you, to know that we're coming closer to one another, to put right things that are wrong, where that's hard and it's going to take a lot, give us grace to do it, and to do it with joy, and to do it with thankfulness, and to do it with love. In your name, amen. Amen. Bless you.